Louis Eriksson has agreed to a 6-year deal with Vancouver Canucks.
Contract sucks.
Dustin Bufflin's had a heck of a series, and Chicago in total control.
Yeah, this is all over. You can order the autopsy
now. With the fifth selection, Vancouver select from the London Knights, Oyu Levy.
We choked.
Yo, what's BAPPin' sports fans? This is Aaron and Stefan on one of your favorite podcasts about the Vancouver Canucks. I don't want to be too presumptuous and say it's your favorite one.
There's a lot out there, so.
Yeah, a lot of competition, but thanks for listening. So the Canucks, big weekend. They signed Elias Pettersson.
Yes.
To an 8-year deal, AAV of $11.6 million.
Pretty good.
Yeah, like, didn't really think it was necessary to do a emergency podcast. So, I mean, what do you say? Oh, this rocks. It's $1 million less a year than I thought it was going to be. Yeah. His max term, which is cool.
It's also like, I mean, it's obviously very exciting and everything, but it's not. I think emergency pod would be if he got traded. Then yeah. I think that's an emergency pod. But I think in this case, it's what we have thought was going to happen. We thought it was going to happen in the summer because that's kind of what he said.
Yeah.
But like, and obviously, you know, what's come out in the media afterwards, how much of that is because he's already signed the contract. But he has said, like, yeah, my plan all along was to re-sign in the summer, like I said.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what we said was going to happen. We were right, technically, but Rutherford and Alvin, they had other ideas.
I do feel pretty vindicated about it, because I don't think at any point we're all that worried, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like we said before, like worst case scenario, they trade him and get a haul. I got a cat chewing at my my headphone cord here. I'm getting pulled down. And good, we're back up. this podcast is constantly interrupted by kitty cats.
Yeah,
I want to have it.
You have
any
a cat
other way.
on the bed there too, right?
Yeah, no, and then Hubie's around my feet.
I love that. That's
fucking
great.
Around down there. I guess it's their supper time, and their mom isn't home to feed him at the moment, so they're gonna have to eat a little bit late. But they still have like a little bit of crunchies out from breakfast, so.
Okay, there you go. I got a new litter box for Kiki. It's coming tomorrow. Very, ooh, very exciting.
Is it like, tell me about it.
It is. So we had one of those like, it's like the self-cleaning one that like you get like reusable like litter box, like filler kind of things for it.
Okay.
But the price on them was just fucking, it was going up so much. It was fucking crazy how much it was going up. And so we're just like, we might as well just get a regular litter box. And it's like,
analog?
Yeah. And it's like, well, it sucks, I guess. But it's like, at the same time, like the self-cleaning one we had for like a while and it was kind of starting to crap out a little bit, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And also just like the prices for, it was like 3 boxes of like, and they lasted like, I think like not even that long. And they were like, they've just raised the price and it's like $30 a box for it now. And it's like, that's fucking obscene.
Much. So, yeah, ain't no way.
Yeah. So it was just like, okay, well, we'll just get her like a nice litter box. I mean, let me see if I can find it. It looks pretty good from what I've seen.
Is it Corvette or is it covered?
It is. Let me take a look. Cause I looked up, I think like the New York Times or like Wirecutter's like best litter boxes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cause they usually have pretty good lists of stuff. And it is the Mod Cat. It does have a lid. It's got like a magnetic lid on the top.
Whoa.
Here, it looks like this. I can post
Mod
it right
Cat
here.
Litter box.
Yeah. It's this one right here. So it's basically like it does have a little like roof to it or whatever, but you can just like take the magnetic
very stylish thing off. Cat toilet. It says
it looks nice. Yeah.
So that's handy.
Yeah. This is the one they said had a very, you know, was very good, very good reviews. It comes with like the liner and stuff and we've got the
free
litter mat already.
Included.
There you go. So, you know, I think she'll like that, I would assume. But the other thing is like, I know watching like Jackson Galaxy and stuff like,
he fucking hates the self cleaners.
He does hate those. It was fine, and Kiki seemed to be fine with it, but I think going back to this will be easier to deal with overall, probably. But I know he was saying, like, don't ever, like, clean their litter box. You know what I mean? Like, because they have their scent in there.
Yeah.
But I guess you can clean it a little bit. You can definitely clean it a little bit, I think.
Yeah. This was, like, when my girlfriend moved in. I wouldn't say a point of contention necessarily, because I easily caved in. Like, I don't care. But I was like, no, you gotta keep their scent in there.
Yeah.
And every time she'd like do a full swap of the litter, she'd like take it and wash it with soap and stuff, which is probably the smart thing to do. And I Googled it, and everyone was like, yeah, clean it like every 4 to 6 weeks. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
She'll be fine. I'd probably use some of the older litter in there.
Yeah.
That's been cycling through. And
yeah, that's one way to do it. I think, what litter do you use? Cause we had the pre kind of set litter from that, the automatic one.
Right.
And there was no choice in litter, really. It was just whatever they had. And it was like blue crystal thing, sort of. But I know people do like tofu litter, and there's all this.
Yes.
Like,
so yeah. That came up in our Discord, which, by the way, if you want to join in on the conversation about mainly hockey, but sometimes we talk cat litter, patreon.com/IHateThisTeam. It was recommended to us. I forget exactly by who, but I get it from teddybob.ca.
Okay.
It's called Pidden Litter, and it's like a tofu based litter that it looks like a little, it's like the little stick one, but absolutely zero dust.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
If they kick it up, it doesn't get like all shitty and crushed on the floor. It's just like a little, stick that you pick up.
Okay.
Little matchstick thing. It smells good. I probably wouldn't eat it, but it's way less stinky than a conventional litter.
Okay. Because I hate the litter dust. I mean, we didn't have it with this, but the cat litter dust it fucking sucks.
Yeah, this is like the least amount of dust I've seen from a litter.
Okay.
And I mean, the price is fine. You get like four. It lasts like a month, and it's like $45 plus shipping.
That's not bad. That's much better than the shit I was paying. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Kind of feels like a treat for the cats. I don't know. They like it. They pee and shit in it.
That's good. Yeah. Cats love doing that. So
do they ever? They love doing it immediately after I scoop it.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, it's fresh. It's time to shit on it, you know? Oh, man.
Anyways, Elias Pettersson. I was really happy at the 11.6 mil. Seems like a little bit of a team hometown discount, and hopefully it kind of sets an internal structure or like an internal philosophy for the team. Cause I don't hold it against players for getting their bag, but
we did not have hometown discounts for so we had the opposite of hometown discounts. We had out of town. What's the opposite of a discount? Like out of town gouging.
Yeah.
that's what we had for years with Jim Benning, right? So this is a nice change, and I think when you get a really good player, one of your best players, if not your best, it's him or Hughes, right? Or Miller. I mean, it's this year there's been a lot of really good players on the team. Mm-hmm. But it does show you, like, okay, yeah, and like you said, internal cap structure, but also like take a little bit less to help out the team, you know. Obviously, the cap's going up, too. The thing that's interesting to me is now the big discussion in terms of re-signing moves to Hronek.
Yes.
And I think there's a chance they walk away from him.
It depends on the price, right? Like, I think, given what we've seen with
saying
this
anything
Pettersson,
over 8, right? Like yeah, walk away
which is
from.
Kind of where I've been at, too, watching him. Yeah. Like, to me, Hronek's a really good third D-man. Whenever he's played by himself, I don't really think that he's carried the defensive pairing. Mm-hmm. And they usually just revert back to putting him with Hughes anyways, which I get. They're awesome together. And it would be great to keep them together because, I mean, yes, Hughes put in a lot of work in the offseason, came back with a better shot, and he seems to just be like an absolute competitive gamer.
Yeah.
Not in like the video game sense, but like, you know.
Yeah.
He's got the right attitude. And he seems to improve year over year somehow, but you can't argue that Hronek hasn't been good with him. But yeah, to pay someone like that more than Quinn Hughes, I think, is insane.
You do worry about maybe the Ehrhoff contract that Buffalo gave Ehrhoff, right? Like, I'm not saying he's going to fall off the map immediately necessarily. And obviously, that was a little different because Ehrhoff was going from Vancouver to Buffalo. So he's going to a completely different team, totally different situation.
Yeah.
But you do sort of worry about, okay, how much of this is the guys he's playing with? But it's it's like, well, he fits too, right?
So, yeah. Well, and similar to Ehrhoff, right? Like, Pettersson has been a Canuck for his entire career, and Ehrhoff was only in Vancouver for two seasons, right? And then decided to get his bag. So
yeah,
if Hronek, his main motivation is getting paid as much as possible, I'm sure you could figure out a way to do that. But I think from a Canucks perspective, if you can get it to be like 7.5, 7,
yeah,
but do the same, a similar structure to what you did with Pettersson, where there's a lot of bonuses and it's front loaded, and make it attractive to the player that way to keep the cap hit down.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the way that it gets done.
Yeah.
But if he is super adamant that he needs 8 or more a year, I don't mind shipping him out, even though the Canucks have struggled so much to find defenders, find someone to play with Quinn Hughes. Like, they effectively traded Bo Horvat for him, right?
Yeah.
So, but then again, he's still RFA. He'd probably call a shot, but you're going to get assets back for him. So,
yeah, I
don't know. I agree with Sat that anything over 8 is, I start pulling up my collar there.
Especially if they're making another big trade, which there's a chance they do, and then presumably they want to re-sign one of the guys they bring in, whether it's Lindholm or someone else. And
yeah.
I mean, although Lindholm, like you said earlier, he hasn't been playing that great, so maybe he's going to be a bit cheaper. There's a lot of things to take into consideration. I do have a bit of breaking news here, though. Breaking Canucks news, Aaron. Rogers Arena will be getting cup holders next season.
Let's go!
Yeah. Woo. Oh, actually, not necessarily next season. This is over the next two summers. So it might be two years from now. But eventually, that's huge. Because, I mean, it's 2024 and they don't have cup. I'm still putting my drink in front of me and hoping I don't accidentally kick it over, you know?
Yeah, no, that's huge. They only have cup holders in some of the seats at the Saddle Dome, as I recall.
Yeah.
You have to, it's like not in the second bowl, but in the lower bowl, I believe.
Yeah. And they're doing black seats, by the way. It's all black seats in the upper. So that, I mean, as if we didn't really know already, it does seem like they will be going skate jersey full time. And I mean, how could they not at this point?
Eyeball emoji. I hope so, man.
I really want to see, we've talked about this before, but I really do want to see the away version of that jersey because it'll look so nice.
That'll look slick as hell. Well, it'll be Fanatics, but.
Fuck, that's true. That
does really tie into something that Pettersson said at his press conference about the dedication to not just making the team better, but like making the whole organization better. And that was something that's been something funny that's come out over the last few days, is kind of the shade that Pettersson seemed to have thrown at Benning. Mm-hmm. And also his agent today. He was on, I think it was Donnie and Dolly this morning.
Yeah.
And said something to the effect of, oh, we never wanted to do a bridge. That was the team's choice. We were down for whatever.
That's so funny, man. I mean, the Chris Gear stuff is so crazy. How are you showing your face? Like, I know, obviously, other than like Judd Brackett, him and like Jonathan Wall were probably the smartest guys in the room, but it's like, that's a really low bar when you're dealing with Jim Benning and John Weisbrod, right? So I just it's fucking crazy. The funniest thing to me is him saying like, well, thanks to the bridge deal, the Canucks had cap space this year to bring in, you know, Hronek and all the players they brought in. And it's like, do you think maybe there's another reason they have cap space this year? Maybe like one of the largest buyouts in league history.
The largest regular course buyout when it wasn't like compliance buyout season after a lockout.
Yeah. God, dude. He's just like, it's just really, really insane to see him like bragging, basically. Like, it's fucking insane. And then like the dumbest people on Canucks Twitter siding with him, right? And it's just like, oh my God, just admit you were wrong for a decade. Jesus Christ.
It's funny. Before I said like we didn't have to do an emergency podcast because we're going to say like the deal is really good and fair. Like, I think both sides made out well. Everybody's happy. Go Canucks, go. That said, I did listen to like an absurd amount of Canucks media on Saturday.
Yeah.
I was like playing Fortnite and just like listened to, you know, the People show and stuff that I wouldn't like normally listen to in my rotation.
Yeah.
But the People show has guys like call in.
Okay.
And this one guy was like, basically said, you got to hand it to Jim Benning. And to this guy's credit, you absolutely don't got to hand it to Jim Benning. and two, he was like, I wanted him gone as much as the next guy, blah, blah, blah. But you have to admit, these players that we were talking about core pieces, he brought in, which is taking a very narrow view, because he also brought in a lot of shitty pieces.
Yes.
I think that's a really dumb argument. I mean, yes, he drafted a couple players, and the JT Miller trade was good. But beyond that, I think if you're picking in the top 10 all the time, you're going to fumble your way ass backwards into some good picks every now and then.
Yeah, I really like it. That's the thing. Like, you can give them credit for like picking the right players, but they also fucked up and missed big time on a lot of those picks. But it's like those, as I think our friend Yerky always brings it up, it's like those picks are just given to you by default. You just have those, right? Like, yeah, it's important to nail those picks, but it's like, you just, those are just yours. You didn't go get those picks. You know what I mean? Like, that's part of
it.
And it's like, you don't give them credit for being bad enough and just having the default picks and like hitting on like 40% of them, right?
Yeah. You said you ran out at the deadline, out of time at the deadline to set like.
It's so funny to hear that after Alvin has made like 9 trades this year, right?
Yeah.
Like,
it feels so good to have confidence in management again.
Yes.
Like a high degree of confidence. Especially after this Pedersen contract was done. I'm like, I'm down for basically whatever they want to do now. I'll have opinions on it, don't get me wrong, but they've definitely earned the benefit of the doubt. And I love how they swing their nuts around to do it.
Yeah.
So that's Pedersen. Hip hip hooray. Anaheim game. I was streaming for most of it, and I had it on like muted in my second monitor. But so I don't really have nuanced takes on it. It looks like they played well.
It's a regulation win. I mean, we'll take it, you know. But
like looking at the underlyings, they were in control the entire game.
Oh, like, they should have won like by a lot. But
yeah, based on my eye tests, I was like, oh, they're kind of letting the Ducks like get into it in the last half of the second period. Which, like, when you're looking at the game flow on Natural Stat Trick, like, that is when it took its dip towards being, like, the closest to even. But the Canucks were still in control that entire time.
Yeah.
Like, they finished the game with, like, 67% of the scoring chances, 71% of the high danger, 57% Corsi. So, that's the type of game that you want to see from the Canucks.
Yeah.
The goals that the Canucks scored were fucking cool as hell.
The Hughes pass on that first goal was crazy.
Oh, the Hoglander?
Yeah. That was nuts.
Mama.
That was really, really crazy.
And the Zadorov pass to Garland as well on the power play. Yeah,
that was great too. That was very nice.
Making me look smart when I say he's the team's third best puck mover on the back end.
Yeah.
So that's cool that they won. I hope that they win against LA and Vegas too.
Yeah.
When you look over at the standings, it's Vegas is really shit in the bed.
They are. We play them this week, do we not?
Yeah, or
in the
next Thursday.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
They're actually below LA by points percentage now.
Wow.
And Eichel's back tonight. He is, actually, I guess he's playing right now. It's the game just started on the time we're recording this. But they're 3-6-1 in their last 10. They're not doing so hot. Very unlikely scenario. It would be hilarious if somehow they missed.
That would imagine? Be really funny. I mean, that would be really, really funny. I would love that personally. But I mean, as our Discord has discussed, like, they're almost certainly going to be trading for one of the big fish, right?
Oh, which is 100%.
It's annoying because they don't really have much to give up other than picks. But it'll just that'll be enough. That's just how it works.
They have Pat Brisson's son.
Brandon. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have Edstrom, the guy they picked 32nd overall last year. We talked about him last episode, but
it's interesting. And like, this will segue nicely into what we're doing next. when we're talking about trade proposals, but yeah, there's not like a lot of like prospect capital there.
Yeah.
And one of my fears, because I guess we haven't talked about it, we just texted each other about it, but we're going to do a big trade deadline preview, I guess. We've come up with quite a few trade proposals. We want to talk to the thing. That'll be a fun way to get into the deadline, which is coming up this Friday.
Coming up very soon, yeah. So I'm wondering for our next episode, presumably it'll be after the deadline.
Yeah, let's do it Friday after the deadline's done.
Okay, excellent.
And my work day's done. But if the Canucks were to trade some of their higher-end prospects for a rental, the Canucks prospect pool looks quite bad. And this year they have barely any picks.
Yeah.
They've already traded their first and their second. They have a third/fourth, but one of them is going away because of the condition of the Lindholm trade.
Yes.
Which I believe is if the Canucks make the conference final, it goes from a fourth to a third.
Okay. Yeah.
And they have their first and second next year, but if they're looking to add more, like that could go away as well. And I know there's been reporting today, I think Drantz and Dhaliwal were both saying it, that they do not want to trade their first round pick for 2025. They feel like in their development cycle, they're not really in a spot where they can be doing it, like trading away firsts in consecutive years. Like they still need to help bolster that up. So any like bigger acquisitions are probably being done by trading prospects, but they're also, they don't say untouchable, but Lekkerimäki, Willander, and DPD, I was surprised to hear included in with those other names, but the team's super high on them. They're pretty much untouchable. And when you look at young players, I don't think you're moving 23-year-old Höglander, who scored 19 even strength goals this year and is like looking quite nice alongside Pettersson. I saw on Twitter that Sat said on Canucks Central that their same deal is pretty much untouchable. Frank Saravelli just tweeted out something about Hronek here. Philip Hronek is next on the Canucks list.
Oh,
GM Patrick Alvin and Alan Marshall spotted meetings during practice today in LA. Too early to hang yet, but it seems like today was a check-in on the process. Okay, so that's no news. But yeah, I don't know what trade that they give away Höglander I would be happy with. And maybe that's homerism on my behalf, but like, say it was a part of a Gensel package. I don't know. Cause like Höglander's signed for cheap next year. Gensel's old and needs to be re-signed and is going to be making significantly more than 1.4 or whatever it is that Höglander signed for. Then it comes down to like your Ratu, Podkolzin, Baines class, maybe Max Sasson, which I don't know if you're getting like a high-end player for that. So
because Pittsburgh is looking specifically for prospects, right? So I don't know. I mean, I am, you know, Sat said people are asking about Höglander and it's like, of course they are.
I bet they are. Yeah,
he's very cheap. He signed next year cheap. He's got what, 19 five 19 on
goals.
5, 19 even strength goals. That's fucking crazy, right? Like, is he top 5 for even strength goals or top 10?
I believe
10?
He is 9th in the league.
Top 10 now. Okay, that's nuts. That's fucking crazy. But the thing is, like,
it's more funny. Even strength than, like, Connor McDavid has for goals.
It's funny because, like, I have him in one of my fantasy leagues, right? And he's, like, not actually that good fantasy-wise because he'll like pop a goal in with regularity, but he doesn't do anything else. Like, he doesn't really get assists. He's not on the power play, and he'll just kind of take like one shot and score, and like
he
that's
occasionally
it.
Hits, but yeah, not a ton of fantasy value there if you're not in a banger league. One more bit of news before we get into the trade deadline stuff. Dhaliwal was saying today that there's a mutual interest between Tyler Myers and the club to bring Tyler Myers back.
Oh,
and I you hate this a lot more than me. I know that.
I guess if it's 1 year for very cheap, but oh man, I mean, I can't, I just, I mean, part of it is just kind of like, he still reminds me of the Benning era, you know,
inherited even, trauma, I think.
Yeah. Even though he's been
serviceable
this year.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at some more numbers here.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, earlier on we were saying, well, what if he signs for $1 million? He's not signing for $1 million. I think if he took a discount to be in Vancouver, we're looking at like Carson Soucy money.
Yeah, which I don't like.
3.25 for a couple of years.
I think he's going to go to like San Jose and sign the Radko Gudas deal, basically. Like, he's going to go somewhere to a shitty team where they're going to give him like 4 years, $4.5 million a year.
Oof. Consider the following. Amongst right-hand shot defensemen in the NHL, yeah, Tyler Myers is 19th in scoring. Amongst all defenders, he's tied for 49th.
Wow.
So, like, among right-handed defenders, he's played a few more games, but he's got 6 less points than Pietrangelo. He is, like, the other right-hand shot defenders with, like, 23 points like him. Brandon Montour, who obviously missed some time. Neil Pionk, Will Borgen, Sean Walker, who's been getting a lot of buzz.
Yeah.
He's outscored like Justin Falk, John Marino, Damon Severson, who's younger and just signed that like 6 year.
That's a brutal deal too.
Yeah.
I just see Tyler Myers going to like Chicago or something. You know what I mean? Like to some young team
that actually pay that has
cap space. Like I look at like the Alex Killorn deal that Anaheim gave out last season where it's like, well, he doesn't do anything for you guys at all, but it's like, it's the classic, like, shitty team, tons of cap space. They can, like, buy him out later on if he becomes a problem, but it's nice to have him in the locker room kind of thing. Like, I think Myers will, he'll either sign with Vancouver for, like, 2 years for fairly cheap, or he'll sign, like, a big deal with, like, a really shitty team.
3 years, 3.25, that's what I think it's going to be. I think he's getting the Soucy deal. God. Which I'll be like, but I've been kind of Stockholm syndrome into liking Myers, man.
Yeah, but like, think about Myers 2 years from now. It's not like he's going to get better.
Yeah, that's true. How old is Myers? He's got to be pretty fucking old, huh?
It's like
I'm
going to
say that he's going to be like a year younger.
Oh, he's going to be like 32 or something. I think.
Oh, probably. Yeah, fucking 34. Dinosaur.
Oh, he's my age. He just turned 34 this year.
He's the same age as me.
I'm
a month older than him.
Oh, Christ.
Fucking old sack of bones. All right, let's do our trade proposals. Let's get into it.
I'm excited. I wonder if we got any of the same. I didn't do a Jake Guentzel one in the end.
Oh, no, me neither. I didn't do a Jake Guentzel one either. Maybe we could do that together at the end. Yeah, we can
do that together, or they'll just make the trade for us, you know?
Yeah, while we're doing this.
I've got a couple guys where I don't know that people have talked about them as possible targets. They're maybe a little bit younger, so maybe they don't make as much sense for the other team to give up on them, but they're interesting targets to me, I think. But yeah, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I'm just going to do it in the list that the order that I put them down. It kind of goes back and forth in terms of craziness, whatever. So to Vancouver, Tyler Toffoli.
Okay.
To New Jersey. When I was thinking about this, I was looking at the return that they got, or what they sent to Calgary, which was, I believe, a second, and I won't get this right.
Sharangovich,
not Sharangovich.
Yeah.
Sharangovich has been awesome.
Yes.
For Calgary, by the way. Scored on Saturday night when Pittsburgh fucking blew it. That game was a lot of fun to watch, man.
But yeah,
Kadri scored a just incredible end-to-end goal.
Oh, that goal was nuts. That was an insane goal.
Mm-hmm. So New Jersey gets 2025 second-round pick. Ilya Mikheyev to make it work cap-wise.
Okay.
And from what Drance has said, around the league, Mikheyev still holds like quite a bit of cachet. It isn't seen as necessarily a negative value
that's
asset.
That's good news. I guess the rest of the league isn't watching the Canucks play.
Yeah, well, it is because they understand that MCLs take some time,
for
right?
For sure.
So yeah. Vancouver would be in a position to train him now because they think they can win, but they can still have value with other teams. And then Artur Seelovs. Because, you know, they have some problems on goal. I'm not saying Seelovs is the answer. Obviously, sure. They have Schmid and Nico Dawes. But yeah, another lottery ticket in net.
Sounds like they're going to be trading for Markstrom, or they're really going to try hard to. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, that's true. But so maybe you could like slot in another prospect there. Yeah. But I don't really ever hear Seelovs come up in trade discussions. And I thought it could be kind of interesting. I did hear Elliot say that New Jersey isn't super hyped up on the prospect of trading to Foley, which seems strange to me because they probably aren't going to make the playoffs, even though they did fire Lindy Ruff today, finally.
Yes.
Where are they at?
And they hired Travis Green, who was an associate coach for them.
Yeah.
So.
So
interesting.
I mean, they have one game in hand on Philadelphia, and they are 7 points back. That's going to be tough.
Yeah.
And then there are 8 points back of the wild card. Also.
Yeah.
Tough. So I don't think it's their year. So I think they'd be smart to move on from Toffoli.
Sure.
Even if it's like, hey, go have some fun.
Go him try coming and win back a cup to Vancouver somewhere
and then
would,
come back if you want.
Him coming back to Vancouver would make a lot of sense. And obviously he fits in. He's got chemistry with the team already. I love that.
He was good with Pettersson.
Yeah.
In the bubble playoffs, he was like in a boot and then came back. So he has like a lot of respect.
Yeah.
And it would right a wrong, you know?
Absolutely.
Similar to how, what's his name would right a wrong? Would have right. Tanev would have been good too, is what I'm trying to say here.
Hopefully love that.
That's fair enough value.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I would be fucking psyched if I on Friday they're tired of Tyler Toffoli's back as a Canuck. Ooh.
I'm interested. I think so. We've done. I did five. Did you do five as well?
I did five.
Yeah,
I did six.
Okay, but you know, we'll see if one of these comes through. I think we can call ourselves an expert podcast.
Yeah.
If one of these happens, I have a big one here.
Okay, let's hear it.
The issue is that the player has an NMC and he's like from the area. We've discussed him before as a possibility. Claude Giroux.
All right, nice. I was thinking, should I make a Claude Giroux trade? But
So Claude Giroux, and I was thinking of like because he signed for next year, right? So I wasn't sure about like retaining salary or what. So I don't know. I mean, I think if you retain salary, you would most likely have to give more here. And I think, again, this is a low end. I think there's teams that could outbid this for sure if it came down to it. And there's really been, his name hasn't been in any rumors or anything either. Just want to count
not recently.
That, first of all.
Yeah.
But Ottawa sucks and they're kind of unpredictable. And I think they probably want to shake things up at some point. Again, I don't know that Giroux would accept a trade in the first place because I think his family's from there. He likes being there. Podkolzin, 2025 first, and Kudryavtsev, the defenseman.
Okay. That might, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he signed for one more year. So you have him next year. It makes, you know, letting Joshua go a bit better because you have that depth on
then
the wing.
Better not fucking let him go.
Continue. A really, really good player, but. Yeah, I mean, you know, great in the playoffs. I think he would definitely fit with the team really well, put him on the power play. He's having a good, he's got 53 points in 59 games this year on like a pretty shitty team. So, again, I think that's certainly undervaluing him. And I don't know if we bring in salary retention here for next year, then you'd want to give a bit more. But that's the baseline start for me. And I think Kudryavtsev, you're sort of looking at like a similar Brustevich kind of. You know, he's not having quite as good of a year, obviously, but his value is higher than a sixth or seventh round pick would be. So
absolutely. And to make this work, are we just assuming that Mikheyev's going somewhere? Because I know you're using the actual Cap Geek calculator thing.
I did.
Right?
I had him 50% retained, which is a lot. And that still gave us, we still had like over $1 million in cap space at that point.
Interesting.
So, because I think. This is with like LTIR and stuff. This is cap friendly, so it's like up to date.
Yeah.
And
I wonder if it was before. Well, I guess Susie hasn't been activated yet, but
yeah. So
I was trying to keep things neutral because it looks like it pretty much has to be neutral once Susie is healthy.
You could,
if it was like $1 million or less, I was like, you could figure that out with sending down like an Amon or G. Giuseppe or whoever,
I think
right?
This does probably involve moving Mikheyev somewhere and.
But hey, we've learned that he has value, so.
Yeah. I think it's possible.
I think that'd be, I like that a lot. Giroux would be amazing. Like when we had Sexjay on, it was someone that we had brought up that I was more interested in than Lindholm. And you know what? Still more interested in him than Lindholm. So there you go. All right. So another big swing for me, Frank Vetrano.
Okay. Friends with Petey.
Scoring a lot. I was listening to 32 Thoughts today, and I guess Anaheim also really likes Vetrano, and Elliot was saying it would take a King's ransom, which my proposal is not.
Okay.
Because I also had 50% retention, which would take them to $1.8 million, which they could figure that out, I'm sure. And I had a 2025 first, 2025 second, and a fourth round pick this year.
Okay.
But I guess that would also have to be next year as well, because that's conditional on the Calgary deal, right? Yeah, just a bunch of picks. Maybe throw a prospect in there. I don't care. But Frank Vetrano, that'd be cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a guy whose name has come up a lot and almost certainly is going to get traded this year, I would assume. Same with Adam Henrique.
Yeah, but they don't have to trade Vetrano, though. So I could see...
Is he signed for another year after this?
Yeah, no, he's signed for one more year at like 3.6. Okay. So.
Yeah, so he'll have more value next year in the deadline, assuming he has another big year. But he's like... I mean, I haven't looked at his stats. I think he's probably got a really high shooting percentage, if I had to guess.
He's a volume shooter. He's got quite a few shots on net, as I recall.
Let's see. What's his shooting percentage? It doesn't show that there. NHL stats. Frank Vetrano.
I'm racing you.
Shots, stats, shooting percentage is... I mean, it's definitely spiked from last year. So last year, he was shooting 9.5. He's shooting 15.2 right now.
Career shooting percentage is
like 11. So okay. it's a bit higher, but not like not like Kuzmenko higher. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So he on the season has 191 shots, which is a lot, and 29 goals.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. That'd be a cool fit. I haven't heard his name connected to the Canucks at all. I've heard like the Rangers come up a few times. Yeah,
because he played for them before.
Yes, prior to signing in Anaheim.
Yeah.
When the Rangers had their, like, not run to the finals recently, but when they made the conference finals?
Yeah.
2 years ago?
Yeah. Okay. All right. I like that. I've got some defenseman trades here.
All right, let's hear it.
This is a younger guy on Arizona, and I've watched him play a couple times, and he seems pretty good, and I tried to look up what Arizona fans think about him, and it was kind of impossible because... there aren't very many of them.
Right. Yeah. Oh, no, don't you dare say that.
Well, anyway, he's played 43 games this year. He's got 13 points. He's a right shot D. He's like 6'4". And he's only making $925,000 this year.
Ooh.
And so I think, this is Michael Kesselring.
Okay.
From Arizona.
I know that name.
Yeah, I don't know a ton about him. I'm doing some stat watching and I've seen highlights and I've, you know, when they play, he seems okay.
Yeah, no, he seems fine.
I think his advanced stats are not like, let me check here. They're not like horrible. I think they're actually pretty decent. If we go to Hockey Reference here. Yeah, his Corsi 4 is 53.9. He averages about just over 14 minutes a game. 14 points in 44 games. So he
There'd
seems
be good
like
synergy with Phil Kessel joining the team soon here, right?
Yeah, Michael Kesselring and Phil Kessel. I love that. But I have Jacob Trescott, who they're not going to sign.
Yeah.
And this maybe is a bit high, but I think if you look at like a right hand shot D who's cheap and young, and a 2025 second.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. The issue is it's like Arizona doesn't need to make that deal. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, you'd have to like make it worth their while. I pulled him up on Kesselring up on Natural Stat Trick. 52% expected goals this season.
Yeah.
That's good on a pretty shitty team.
Yeah,
team
that's lost. That's what I was thinking.
They've lost,
big guy.
What, 14, 15 in a row before they finally won the other day?
Yeah, he's a big guy. You know, he's a right shot D. And our, you know, I think we can always use more depth there. And
pending
he's 24 years old.
Pending RFA,
I think, yeah. But, you know, seems like a good guy to target. But again, it comes down to why would Arizona give him up necessarily? Because they don't have, they have Simashev. And I don't know much else about their defensive prospects. I don't think they have much else other than Simashev. So there's not necessarily a reason for them to give away a 24-year-old right shot D who's looking pretty good.
Well, they have two more years of Shea Weber after this one, 7.8. So
fuck, that's so funny. That's a guy that, like, you know, I'd like to see the Canucks target.
I like
guys
that a lot. That'd be a very astute move if they were to make that.
Yeah,
I clicked over to Arizona's cap friendly page, and it is fucking hilarious when you look at the.
Is Datsyuk on there still?
Datsyuk is not there, but they do have this would be a fun game.
Brian Little, I know.
Yeah,
on there.
Brian Little, Travis Boyd, and then Jakub Voracek.
Holy shit!
They've got $23 million in LTIR this year.
That's so funny, man. God.
But no, just the sheer amount of fucking draft picks that Arizona has over the next couple of years.
It's really crazy.
So yeah. they have all their firsts. Well, they have all their picks. They haven't traded away any of their picks.
Yeah.
But this year they have Florida and Washington's second round pick, Colorado and Edmonton's third, San Jose's fourth, and Boston's seventh. Next year, they're picking four times in the second round. Because they have their pick, Toronto's pick, Edmonton's pick, and the Rangers pick. And then they also have the Rangers third rounder next year. And then even in 2026, they have the Rangers second round pick, the Sens second round pick, and the Hurricanes third round pick.
Yeah, so maybe they want to, you know.
Maybe they want another second. Maybe they want to pick the entire 2025 second round draft class. And they can add that to their ring, or
yeah,
you know, the Thanos gif with like a second round pick,
yeah,
for Michael Kesselring. I like that a lot.
I just think, like, you know, would Arizona do that? It doesn't necessarily make as much sense for them, but I think the value is maybe there.
I too have a Arizona trade proposal for you.
Okay, is it Zucker?
No, it is Liam O'Brien.
Ooh, okay, that could be fun.
I know. So he's making league minimum $775. He's got a cool beard, and he skates around beating people up.
Yeah, he's like a psycho. He's nuts.
And so for that, a 2025 fourth.
Okay.
They clearly like acquiring draft picks. Pending UFA, add some more sandpaper lower down the lineup. I know we like that for the playoffs. I mean, he's been playing all year in Arizona, so I don't really know what to make of like his stat line or his underlying numbers necessarily. But I just think that they size in the bottom six is something that they want to target going into the freaking playoffs. And he would lend it at probably not a high cost. He is 44 expected goals, or 44% expected goals this year. Not great underlings, but... No,
but kind of fun to get a crazy guy in the lineup.
Yeah, he'll punch you in the face if you bring that up to him, you fucking nerd. All right, your turn.
Okay, so similar deal to the Kesselring one. This is to Montreal.
All right.
And this is Jonathan Kovacevic.
I don't know who that is.
Who is, I believe, let me look this up. Another guy, I think he's signed for next year. He played for Winnipeg before, and then I think was claimed off waivers.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go to Hockey Reference here. But from my understanding, he's like pretty solid. Not crazy Corsi 4, but he's a right shot D. He's making, I think, league minimum or close to it. Let me just look up the exact trade that I made. He's making $766,000. Like, he's making league min. I'm pretty sure that's very close to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right shot D, I believe, signed for next year. I can't confirm that, but I think he is signed for next year. And just my understanding is a pretty solid defenseman, right shot guy. And again, basically the same deal. 2025 second and Jacob Truscott.
Yeah, fuck you, Truscott.
Similar deal. I think he's a little older too. He's 26, I think, turning 27. So age wise, doesn't necessarily fit with Montreal as much. So maybe likelier to happen.
He is signed next year at 766667.
Yes. So similar to, you know, how we have someone like Hoglander signed for super, super cheap next year.
Mm-hmm.
You look at like the value that like a cheap contract brings, and they're going to need it too. I think it's worth 2025 second.
Yeah. Fuck it. Right. 2025 second might even be a little bit too much. Like he was acquired off waivers.
Yeah. I just know like that's the type of player that kind of you sometimes get like weird bidding wars for. Because he's so cheap and he's like competent and he's right shot.
And he's 6'5", 223.
And he's a big guy. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm looking at this similar to the Kesselring deal. He's a little bit older, but same sort of target.
Well, let's see. 51 games this year. He's actually a +9, which is surprising coming from Montreal, but 9 points in those games. He had 15 points last year in 77. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. I like it. All right, I have a way more batshit crazy one than you just had.
Okay.
All right. So to Vancouver from the San Jose Sharks, Anthony Duclair.
Okay.
Pending UFA at 75% retention, because we're going to send him through Minnesota, who's also going to retain 50%. That would get him to 775K, so basically making league minimum. Duclair was good in the playoffs for Florida last year.
Yeah.
He's speedy, throws the body, and would be a much cheaper top six scoring option. Maybe he has some chemistry with Petey. I know defense is a bit of a concern with him, right? So there is that, but also it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
But that's not all, Stefan.
Okay.
Also included in this deal, Mario Ferraro.
All right.
He's got 2 years remaining at 3.25. Left-hand shot defenseman. He is a blocked shot and hit machine.
Okay.
You're in any banger fantasy leagues and he's available, check him out. I think he's got like 150 blocked shots and close to 100 hits this year. And he's been hurt. 6 foot tall, 209 pounds. I think he moves the puck okay.
Okay.
He's chipped in a few points this year. I know this because I have him in a fantasy league, but I don't have his actual stats pulled up right this second. I'll get it in 2 seconds. Let's see here. Season stats. Okay, he has a goal and 13 assists, but like 93 shots on net, which is quite a few for a defender at this point. And yeah, 95 hits and 162 block shots. So peripherals, pretty good.
Yeah. What are you giving up for them? This is Duclair and Ferraro.
Oh yeah, yeah, and Duclair at 75%. Let me see here. Oh yeah, first and second next year.
Okay. All right. First and second. I guess Ferraro signed. Yeah.
I think Ferraro signed for 2 more years after this one at a very reasonable rate.
Yeah.
And it probably slots into the top four. Like, if you're not going to be re-signing Zadorov, I think that's like a pretty good replacement at probably close to half the cost of what that's going to be as a UFA.
Yeah.
Maybe that's an overpay. I don't know, but.
Yeah, but sometimes I think you just have to do an overpay for.
Yeah. Well, and from what I've heard, San Jose likes Ferraro a lot, and it would take a little bit of a overpay in order to pry him out of there, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I like it. Okay. I've got, how many more? 2 more, I think. Yeah.
Okay. I also have 2 more.
Okay. I have from Vancouver a 2025 fourth round pick and Akito Hirose.
All right.
To Pittsburgh for Lars Eller at 20% retained. He's signed for next year as well.
Okay.
He's got a lot of playoff experience. He scored the cup winning goal for Washington. I mean, I think we have a couple of resident Pittsburgh fans in our Discord, so they'll know better than I will. But when I've watched them play, he seems okay. I know
he slowed down against Vancouver.
Yeah, I know he slowed down quite a bit, but he's an old, wily vet, good at faceoffs, signed for next year. So I don't know. Maybe the value is not. Maybe it's a higher pick or something. But
so you were giving second,
a fourth.
And
Hirose. Yeah.
Hirose?
He's an older guy. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's sometimes they go for about that much, but he does have a lot of playoff experience, so he might go for more because of that.
I'm going to turn that up to a third round pick, and then I think we might be cooking with something there.
Yeah. I just don't know how many.
He plays center as well, right? Center left wing?
Yeah. The issue is the Canucks don't really have any thirds because they've got the one they gave up this year that.
Oh, yeah, the conditional one this year.
And then they don't have a 2025 third, and they don't have a 2026 third.
Ooh. Okay.
So I went with a fourth in Hirose, but
yeah, that works. Yeah, I guess you're throwing in Hirose there.
Yeah.
Maybe that ups the fourth to the value of a third.
Yeah.
Man, fucking Columbus, 2-2 Columbus Vegas after in the first intermission.
Wow.
Vegas hates winning.
I mean, it's good news.
Yeah.
Works for me.
It's bad news for my fantasy team that has Aiden Hill. no, I like that. Okay. All right. So Buffalo receives Ilya Mikheyev, still has cache around the league, a 2025 second. And I said 2024 first because I forgot about the condition with the Calgary trade. So let's say 2025 fourth. Who cares? The Canucks receive fan favorite Jordan Greenway.
Of course. I knew you were going to Greenway one. Okay.
And Eric Johnson at 50% retained. Just to get some fucking veteran presence in there. He's a warm body. I know he's been ass this season. He's old as shit, but he's a pending UFA. I mean, he obviously has cup experience with Colorado.
Yeah, having him as like a seventh or eighth guy who can slot
him. Yeah, having
him
there if like worst comes to worst and you need like a right hand shot to pull into the lineup, and I don't know, maybe you don't want to play Friedman or whatever. Yeah.
It's interesting. Okay. Greenway I like a lot, I think.
And Greenway went, and he signed for another year at 3.25, I think. Soon to be Tyler Myers money. I think he went for a third for Minnesota to Buffalo last year. When I was looking this up yesterday, I looked into it because I wanted the value to be similar.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Lacoposo is also an interesting rental for like experience in from fucking Buffalo. But for my discussions with COVID, Koa, I want to say Koa off stream, and it turned into COVID. He's been quite poor this season. So there is that.
Okay.
God damn it. Greenway trade. What was the trade? It doesn't say. I'm going to find it. Greenway trade. It's just going to be a third. Like I said, it was blah, blah. Oh, no. Is it a second and a fourth?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm definitely on board to bring him on.
Second and fourth. What did I say? Oh, yeah. I said second, fourth, and Ilya Mikheyev. Part of that salary. But I mean, if you're Buffalo, like maybe you think you can utilize him next year as well.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Okay. I have one more here. I thought of this right before we started recording.
Nice. Let's hear it.
Well, it was going to be a third, but we don't have it. So this is more just like I'm still working on the idea behind this one, but bringing back Jason Dickinson.
Okay.
Because he's had like a, you know, I mean, I know he's just getting a lot more ice time in Chicago, but he's been like decent for them is my understanding.
Yeah.
And I think it would be kind of funny to bring him back also.
Yeah, well, he did re-sign in Chicago. So.
Did he? It's saying he only has 1 year. I thought he did he actually? Or am I thinking of...
No, he certainly re-signed in Chicago. Like,
oh, fuck, you're right. Never mind then. I thought for some reason... Okay, for some reason, I thought Cap Friendly said he only had 1 year left, but I think they're meaning 1 year left on his like current contract. Before the next one kicks in. Okay, never mind then. I thought he was a free agent, in which case it made more sense, but yeah, never mind.
Oh, dude,
okay.
speaking of Cap Friendly.
Yeah.
It is so nice to click over to Cap Friendly and see Elias Pettersson with the red arrow next to his name until 2032.
Oh, ooh, I love it.
Ooh, that's a good pick-me-up if you're feeling down, listeners.
2032 is a long ways away.
Yeah, I'm going to be fucking dead by... Just kidding. Oh, I don't plan on
being dead.
It's
nice that I can
then.
Still wear the Pettersson jersey that I've got, you know?
Like, oh, yeah. Now that's like... a good investment.
Yeah. I mean, part of me hopes they re-sign Hronek just so I can buy his jersey. It's not like a 1 year kind of thing, you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay, here's my last one. This one, folks, is a four-way trade.
Ooh. Is that even allowed?
Yeah, he's going crazy.
Okay.
So... All right. The reason it's a four-team trade is I'm getting retained salary through two different brokers. So both Minnesota and... Okay. So Vancouver gets Jordan Eberle at 75% retained, which would be 1.4. And Justin Schultz, 75% retained, which would be 775K.
Okay. But
Schultz, obviously, Rutherford guy from Pittsburgh, old now as well, also pending UFA, just like Eberle is. So you're kind of getting two birds stoned at once with top six scoring and defensive depth. Chicago, for being a broker and retaining some salary, they get Ilya Mikheyev and a six round pick.
Okay.
Minnesota, just like in the deal before where they were a third party, you know, broker, they get a fourth round pick in 2025. And then Seattle receives 2025 second round pick and Atu Ratu.
Okay. Interesting. That's a big deal. Is that so? I wonder, is that like two separate trades almost? You know what I mean? Because I'm actually not sure if you're allowed to do a four-way trade. I know you can do three-way trades for sure.
Why wouldn't you be allowed to?
I think it's just because it's like the NHL is like
because they're not as ambitious as me.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. I know three-way trades obviously are allowed because we've had a couple of them recently. But can you do? I actually don't know where to find the rule for this. But I don't know if you can do a four-way deal. That's interesting. Yeah. So I wonder if there's a way to do that where it's like two separate deals. You know what I mean?
With or like one is like, you know, Eberle for Rot. Let's say Eberle for Rot too, and then you do the Mikheyev and the six to Chicago.
Eberle,
and then
you do as a target.
Schultz for a second and the Minnesota retention, something like that.
I really like Eberle as a player to target. I feel like he's going to go back to Edmonton.
That makes absolutely the most sense.
I like the idea of targeting someone like Eberle. That's good.
Thank you.
That's good. I think we did a pretty good job there. So we'll see if any of those trades go through. The Dickinson one is not going to happen.
I think we could cross that one out.
Yeah.
I did see on Twitter right before we started recording that the Canucks are interested in Jason Zucker out of Arizona.
Okay.
Formerly out of the Pittsburgh Penguins. He did score 27 goals last year, but prior to that, had not been scoring 27 goals.
Yes.
Like he has 9 goals in 51 games this year. He was, it seemed like hurt or COVID seasons. He hadn't played 82 games or close to it since like 2018, 2019 for Minnesota, where he had like 21 and 21. So he's getting a bit up there. He's 32, but could be another option for like middle six scoring depth, I guess.
Okay. I feel like his name's been tossed around before for the Canucks for a while now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, basically any player that's played in Pittsburgh, right?
Like, okay.
Yeah. So I guess we'll keep tabs on Jason Zucker and have an opinion for him that's more concrete by Friday.
So just to be clear for our listeners, the players we're not predicting. These are just like ideas. But
yeah,
Kovacevic. So for me, it was Kovacevic, Kesselring, Giroux, Eller, and that was it because the Dickinson one doesn't count. So those are the four that, you know. Well, so if one of those happens,
just in case. We live in a universe of infinite possibilities, and I targeted.
Yeah,
Liam O'Brien, Jordan Eberle, Justin Schultz, Jordan Greenway, Eric Johnson, Anthony Duclair, Mario Ferraro, Frank Vetrano, and Tyler Toffoli.
Love it.
And not Jake Guentzel.
Okay. All right.
But well, Jake Guentzel, there's a poll going around yesterday. It was like first and Pod Colson for Guentzel, or is it first and Hoaglander?
Pod Colson, first and Pod Colson, 100% you do that.
I don't think Pittsburgh does that, right?
No, I don't think they do. Yeah. First and Hoaglander, I think they consider, but...
Well, they better fucking consider it, because that'd it comes through, they're like, oh, they've acquired Jake Guentzel, who's also signed the JT Miller contract for a first and Hoaglander. Ooh, are you pissed off?
I'm a little... That contract could age very poorly, is the thing.
Yeah.
But also, it makes the team really, really good. But then also, Hoaglander's like... I do also think it would be very funny to trade Hoaglander right after you re-sign Petey.
Yeah. Fuck you. You're shipping your friend out of here. You shouldn't do a nut shot to Nils Lemon after the game.
That was... yeah.
Like, it's... Yeah. I think there's a broader conversation to be had here about what the Pettersson signing does for, like, the team's competitive window. Because I kind of think like there's now this like very clearly defined 3-year window where you have fucking Quinn Hughes at cheap. And then no matter what happens, like you still have Pettersson, who will be 28 and providing, you would think, full value. And hopefully, if everything goes right, be more battle hardened and have some playoff series under his belt, assuming that they don't win in the next 3 years, which might open up like a secondary window. I don't know. So knowing that you have Pettersson signed, like maybe you do try and get some older players to be like hyper competitive now, and then you know, if you have to ship them out or pay to get off of them in a few years, then so be it.
Yeah.
Or you know that you have Pettersson for a while, so maybe it isn't as like pressing that you make a big push right now.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. I'm interested to see what happens. We're 5 days away, or less, I guess, really. But we'll be recording right after the deadline. Hopefully the Canucks give us something to talk about.
I'm sure they will.
I'm sure they'll do at least one minor deal. Right?
Oh yeah, let's do Brandon Duhaime for like a fourth as well. Let's do it. Let's go.
Sure. Yeah, let's make it happen.
Yeah. Add that to the list.
All right.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Go Canucks go.
Go Canucks go.
See you on Friday. Bye bye.